Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Off night for the Cardinals. They get back at it coming up tomorrow. They'll open up a six-game trip that will start with three games in New York against the Mets. Miles Michaelis on the mound coming up tomorrow. Right now, we're going to head to the Quiver River Electric guest line, bring in one of our favorite folks out there. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. He's doing college baseball play-by-play all over the place. He is our good friend Mike Farrin on Twitter at Mike_Ferrin. Mike, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you taking some time with us. Let's start with Cardinals. So you, from afar, as you see what this team has done so far this year at 11-14, how would you evaluate them and maybe the struggles that we've seen from them from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, right, is that the offense has not been particularly good. And, you know, listen, I think we had questions about the starting rotation, and those have largely come to fruition. I think we all liked the bullpen, liked the potential of it. The bullpen's been pretty good overall. I think the offense was maybe where there was the most variability in the way people felt about it. I thought they had a chance to be pretty solid. I know last year wasn't as good as maybe they had anticipated, or certainly they were in 2022. But you know, I thought that there was a chance that they were going to kind of take another step forward. And so far, that hasn't been the case. And some of it's injuries, you know, obviously not having having Edman and then, you know, Dylan Carlson going down impacted the depth. And, you know, and it's just guys getting off to slow starts, right? Paul Goldschmidt really, you know, he looked better as the Diamondback series went on, but he has struggled. And, you know, Nolan Gorman's off to a slow start. So, like, it's just, it's a combination of things. But really, I think it's, you know, like, if they're going to have success, it's going to have to be, the bullpen's going to have to be great still, and the offense is going to have to perk back up. And I think it's an open question as to how much better they can get offensively.
Paul Goldschmidt is the guy that has struggled and has the highest expectations of players who have struggled. What should the confidence level be for fans who are watching this, hoping that he's going to be able to find his stroke?
Yeah, I mean, this is not the first time that Paul Goldschmidt's had a rotten April. I mean, it's, in fact, I remember back when I was working for the Diamondbacks, there was a year, I want to say it was 2018, maybe. It was 2018. He got off to a really terrible start and didn't really get locked in until, I would say, the middle of May. And then for the next 3 months, he was one of the best hitters in the league. And so, you know, listen, he's been through it before. He is as diligent a worker as you will find, I think. You know, one thing we have to wonder is, because the ravages of time come for us all, I know I feel that every day, you know, if some of the physical skill has eroded, and certainly that's probably the case, but probably not enough that it would impact him being, you know, a long-term problem. I think in the end, you'll look up and Goldschmidt's numbers will probably be pretty similar to what he put up last year, which are short of what he did in his MVP season, but still pretty darn good. And I think there's a good bet just based on his track record and how good a player he is that he ends up being a really solid offensive performer at first base. I'm not going to be the first person to bet against Paul Goldschmidt. Let's put it that way.
The Cardinals have had a hard time developing high-end talent in recent years. And we just saw Jordan Walker gets sent down. And Walker's a young guy. Young guys get sent down. This is not the first time this has happened in baseball history, but for a guy who was expected to be a middle-of-the-order run producer, how startling is it that for a second straight year he has to be returned to AAA?
Well, I think it's the last two guys that they've had that have been really hyped offensively have not, to this point, lived up to those expectations. Because I think you take Walker and Dylan Carlson into that mix, right? You know, listen, I think some of high-end talent is acquiring, you know, top of the draft type players. And the Cardinals this year will be picking a lot closer to the top of the draft than they have in a long time. I think whether they have the seventh pick. So, you know, it's kind of a strange draft. There's not a whole lot of middle of the field players, but there's some very good college bats in it. And so I think that's probably part of it. And I think the other thing is, I mean, to your point, like not everybody develops the same. And there are probably a couple of adjustments that Walker still needs to make. That it's easier to do outside the limelight in AAA than it is to do at the big league level. And, you know, if there's the offense is struggling and he is struggling too, it puts probably some undue pressure on him. So I don't mind the conservative course of action with him and sending him out and just hope that he gets it figured out because, you know, he's a really talented guy. What we saw in the second half last year felt like that was who, you know, he could be. And I think that's still there. It's just they got off to a slow start. And quite frankly, they have, you know, some pretty significant needs to be better offensively. Now, that said, you know, like they know they've talked about how Burleson's swinging the bat. The results haven't been great for Alec Burleson to this point. You know, Lars Nootbaar coming back is certainly going to help them. But I think that there's still, you know, I think there's still some questions about what Walker's ultimate ceiling is. But I think, you know, he certainly is – it's easier to work on outside of the spotlight. And I will say this, that, like, as poor as his start has been, Mason Wynn was not expected to be much of an offensive threat, and he's been dynamite offensively. I mean, he's been one of their best offensive players to this point. That's another player that they drafted and developed.
When we talk about Jordan Walker, we specifically talk about the fact that he's not – getting the ball in the air. And fans will be listening and they hear people say launch angle and they just turn off the radio or just turn, you know, all of a sudden that's one of those terms that a certain group of fans don't want to hear. But isn't there value in getting a guy swing right? So if he does make hard contact like a Walker can, that there's actually going to be production because of how it's coming off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, to that point, I think there are a lot of former player analysts who made launch angle a dirty word without understanding what launch angle actually was. You know, there is no such thing as a launch angle swing. That doesn't really exist. Mm-hmm. Every ball in play has launch angle to it, even ones that are hit on the ground. It's just that those launch angles are negative, right? It's a measurement. Now, to your point, yes, Walker is a guy who is going to benefit more from hitting the ball in the air. Because he has prodigious power, and we know that the highest slugging percentage comes on fly balls that are hit to the pull side. Now, he has the power to be able to go the other way as well, but getting the ball off the ground is going to be key for, you know, a guy that's not really a burner. I mean, he's got to get the ball up in the air. But a lot of that, you know, ends up getting talked about in bat path and launch angle. And I would bet you dimes to donuts, and I have not talked to any of the Cardinals coaching staff about this, but I have a feeling a lot of it has to do with timing. And generally, when you are on time on the fastball, you hit hard line drives, which are balls in the air, and you hit them, you know, to the pull side if you're just a little bit early. And that's what I think you're looking for Walker. So, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily something that's data-driven or that it's, you know, anything other than – the dude hasn't been able to barrel up fastballs right now. And at some point he's going to, and we saw that more as last year went on. And the other thing is that there's a fair amount of research that shows that young players don't hit the ball in the air as consistently as old players do. And so, you know, I think part of it is just the natural learning curve and progression of somebody like Jordan Walker.
Who do you like right now in the NL Central? Because it really doesn't feel like any team is that much better than any other team.
Well, I mean, there's three teams that I think have played really well. I mean, surprisingly well overall. I mean, Milwaukee is the biggest surprise, right? I mean, I don't think we expected them to have this robust in offense, and that was a very good comeback win down twice today to Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know, listen, the Cubs are going to be very curious to see what happens here over the next couple of weeks. No Suzuki, no Bellinger is going to put a dent in that offense, but they catch the ball. And their starters have been better, I think, than anticipated, in part because Shota Imanaga has been excellent. So I think they're interesting, and I really like that Reds team. I mean, I think, you know, think about this. The Reds are off to this start without the guys that we felt like were maybe their two most important offensive players, not named Ellie De La Cruz, right? TJ Friedl, who broke his wrist in spring training, although should be back at some point early in May, and Matt McClain, their second baseman, who's really kind of their team leader, and I think talking to people around the Reds, they feel like he's kind of their most important guy. He may not be back until like August. So what the Reds have done so far is pretty impressive. I think their pitching is in much better shape than it was at any point a year ago. I think they have a really intriguing bullpen. I think both Fernando Cruz and Alexis Diaz are two of the more underrated relievers in the league. So I think there's three teams there that really feel like they have a chance at the top of that division. And, you know, Pittsburgh is lurking, and I'm not sure how good the Pirates are going to be, but I know if I were an opposing team or worked for an opposing team, I would dread the days that I had to face Jared Jones.
Yeah.
And with the idea that Paul Skeens is coming, I think they're going to pitch pretty well. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get it.
He is Mike Farron. You hear him on MLB Network Radio. Does a fantastic job there every day. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Always a pleasure, man. Take care.
All right, that's Mike Farron joining us. Up next, we'll be joined by Bob Ramsey. We'll talk Cardinals baseball and a little SLU hoops with him. It's an exciting time right now for SLU basketball. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.